98. Loopholes. Lore suggested leaving a city if the Spren there start acting strangely. Curiously, Ja'anat was often regarded as an individual, when others, like Moalach or Ashurtmarn, were seen as forces. From Hesse's Mythica, page 90. Zeth Oshinovar left the Skybreaker Fortress with the 20 other squires. The sun approached the clouded horizon to the west, gilding the Pure Lake red and gold. Those calm waters, strangely, now sprouted dozens of long wooden poles. Of various heights, ranging from 5 to 30 feet, these poles appeared to have been jammed into fissures in the lake bottom. Each had an odd knobby shape at the top. "This is a test of martial competence," Master Warren said. The Azish man looked strange in the garb of a Marabetian lawkeeper, chest bare and shoulders draped with the short, patterned cloak. The Azish were normally so proper, overly encumbered with robes and hats. "We must train to fight, if the desolation truly has begun." Without Nin's guidance to confirm, they spoke of the desolation in ifs and mights. "Each pole is topped with a group of bags bearing powders of a different color," Warren continued. "Fight by throwing those. You cannot use other weapons. And you cannot leave the contest area marked by the poles. I will call time over when the sun sets. We will tally the number of times each squire's uniform was marked by one of the bags of powder. You lose 4 points for each different color on your uniform, and an additional point for each repeated hit from a color. The winner is the one who has lost the fewest points. Begin." Zeth drew in Stormlight and lashed himself into the air with the others. Though he didn't care if he won arbitrary tests of competence, the chance to dance the lashings, for once without needing to cause death and destruction, called to him. This would be like those days in his youth, spent training with the Honor Blades. He soared upward about 30 feet, then used a half-lashing to hover. Yes, the tops of the poles each bore a collection of small pouches tied on by strings. He lashed himself past one, snatching a pouch, which let out a puff of pink dust as it came off in his hand. He now saw why the squires had been told to wear a white shirt and trousers today. "Excellent," Zeth said, as the other squires scattered, grabbing pouches. "What?" the sword asked. Zeth carried it on his back, tied securely in place at an angle from which he could not draw the weapon.
"I don't understand. Where is the evil?"
"No evil today, Sword Nimi. Just a challenge."
He hurled the pouch at one of the other squires, hitting her square in the shoulder, and the resulting dust colored her shirt in that spot. Notably, the master had said that only color on the uniform would be counted, so holding the pouches and dusting one's own fingers was fine. Similarly, hitting each other in the face gained no advantage. The others took quickly to the game. Soon pouches were being flung in all directions. Each pole bore only a single color, encouraging competitors to move about to hit others with as many colors as possible. Jorrit tried hovering in one spot anyway, dominating one pole to prevent others from hitting him with its color. Sitting still made him a target, however, and his uniform was quickly covered in spots. Zeth dove, then pulled himself up with an expert lashing so that he swooped, skimming the surface of the Pure Lake. He grabbed a pole as he passed, bending it out of Callie's reach as she went by above.
"I'm down too low," Zeth realized as bags of dust fell toward him. "Too easy a target."
He twisted back and forth, executing a complex maneuver that manipulated both lashings and the wind of his passing. Pouches smacked the water near him. He pulled upward. Lashing wasn't like the flight of a swallow. Instead, it was like tying oneself to strings, a puppet to be yanked about. It was easy to lose control, as evidenced by the awkward motions of the newer squires. As Zeth gained height, Zedzil fell in behind him, holding a pouch in each hand. Zeth added a second lashing upward, then a third. His stormlight lasted so much longer than it had before. He could only assume that radiants were more efficient than those who used honor blades for the powers. He shot upward like an arrow,
Windspren joining and twisting around him. Zedzil followed, but when he tried to throw a pouch at Zeth, the wind was too great. The pouch fell backward immediately, striking Zedzil on his own shoulder. Zeth dropped into a dive, and Zedzil followed until Zeth snatched a green bag from a pole and tossed it over his shoulder, hitting Zedzil again. The younger man cursed, then shot away to find easier prey. Still, this combat proved to be a surprising challenge. Zeth had rarely fought in the air itself, and this contest felt similar to when he'd battled the Windrunner in the skies. He twisted among the poles, dodging pouches, even snatching one from the air before it hit him, and found he was enjoying himself. The screams from the shadows seemed dim, less pressing. He wove between thrown pouches, dancing above a lake painted by the hues of a setting sun, and smiled. Then immediately felt guilty. He had left tears, blood, and terror in his wake like a personal seal. He had destroyed monarchies, families, innocent and guilty alike. He could not be happy. He was only a tool of retribution, not redemption, for he dared not believe in such. If he was to be forced to keep living, it should not be a life that anyone would ever envy.
"You think like Vasher," the sword said in his head. "Do you know Vasher? He teaches swords to people now, which is funny because Varatrelides always says Vasher isn't any good with the sword."
Zeth rededicated himself to the fight, not for joy, but for practicality. Unfortunately, his momentary distraction earned him his first hit. A dark blue pouch struck, its circle stark on his white shirt. He growled, soaring upward with a pouch in each hand. He flung them with precision, hitting one squire in the back, then another in the leg. Nearby, four of the older squires flew in formation. They would chase an isolated squire, swarming him or her with a flurry of eight pouches, often scoring six or seven hits, while rarely getting hit themselves. As Zeth zoomed past, they fixated on him, perhaps because his uniform was nearly pristine. He immediately lashed himself upward, canceling his lateral lashing, to try to get above the pack. These were well practiced with their powers, however, and not so easily put off. If he continued straight upward, they'd merely chase him until he ran out of stormlight. Already his reserves were low, as each squire had only been given enough to last through the contest. If he double or triple lashed himself too often, he'd run out early. The sun was slipping inch by inch out of sight. Not much time left. He simply needed to last. Zeth dove to the side, moving quickly and erratically. Only one of the pack chasing him chanced a throw. The others knew to wait for a better shot. Zeth's swoop took him straight toward a pole, but it held no pouches. Fari looked like he had gathered them all up to hoard the color, so Zeth grabbed the pole itself. He pushed it to the side, bending it until it snapped, leaving him with a pole some 10 feet long. He lightened it with a partial lashing upward, then tucked it under his arm. A quick glance over the shoulder showed that the four teammates were still tailing him. The one who had thrown earlier had grabbed two new pouches and was catching up to the others with a double lashing.
"Make a stand," the sword suggested. "You can take them."
For once, Zeth agreed. He zoomed down until he was near the water, his passing causing a trail of ripples on the surface. Younger squires dodged out of his way, flinging dust bags but missing because of his speed. He deliberately lashed himself to the side in a smooth, predictable turn. It was exactly the opportunity the pack had been waiting for, and they started throwing at him. But he was no frightened child to be intimidated and overwhelmed by superior numbers. He was the assassin in white, and this was but a game. Zeth spun and began batting the pouches away with his staff. He even managed to hit the last one back into the face of the leader of the group, a man named Ty. It wouldn't count as a mark, but the dust got in Ty's eyes, causing him to blink and slow. The group expended most of their pouches, which let Zeth, lashed now directly toward them, get close. And nobody should ever let him get too close. He dropped his staff and grabbed a squire by her shirt, using her as a shield from an opportunist outside the group who was throwing crimson bags. Zeth spun with her, then kicked her toward a companion. They slammed together, trailing streaks of red dust. He grabbed another squire from the pack, trying to lash him away. The man's body resisted the lashing, however. People bearing Stormlight were more difficult to lash, something Zeth was only now coming to understand. He could, however, lash himself backward, hauling the man with him. When he let go, the squire had trouble adjusting to the change in momentum and jolted in the air, letting himself get hit by a half dozen bags from outsiders. Zeth zipped away, running dangerously low on Stormlight. Only another few minutes. Beneath him, Ty called to the others, pointing up at Zeth, the obvious current winner. Only one strategy made sense at this point.
"Get him!" Ty shouted.
"Oh, good,"
the sword said. Zeth lashed himself downward, which proved wise as many of the squires shot up past him, assuming he'd try to stay high. No, his best defense while outnumbered was confusion. He got among them, a storm of pouches targeting him. Zeth did what he could to avoid them, zipping one way then the other, but there were too many attacks. The poorly aimed ones were the most dangerous, as moving out of the way of a well-placed attack almost always took him into the path of an errant one. One pouch struck his back, followed by a second. A third hit his side. Dust flew all around as the squires hit each other, too. That was his hope, that even as he took hits, they would take more. He soared up, then dove again, causing the others to dodge like sparrows before a hawk. He flew along the water, scattering fish in the waning light, then shot upward to... His stormlight ran out. His glow vanished. The tempest within died. Before the sun could set, the cold took him. Zeth arced in the air and was pummeled with a dozen different pouches. He dropped through the cloud of multicolored dust, leaving an afterimage from his loosely fastened spirit. He splashed into the Pure Lake. Fortunately, he hadn't been too high, so the landing was only mildly painful. He hit the bottom of the shallow lake. Then, when he stood up, the others hit him with another round of pouches. No mercy from this group. The last sliver of sun vanished, and Master Warren shouted an end to the test. The others streaked away, their stormlight conspicuous in the dimming light. Zeth stood waist-deep in water.
"Wow," the sword said. "I kind of feel bad for you."
"Thank you, Sword Nimi. What were those two spren floating nearby, shaped as small slits in the air? They separated the sky like wounds in skin, exposing a black field full of stars. When they moved, the substance of reality bent around them. Zeth bowed his head. He no longer ascribed to Spren any particular religious significance, but he could still be in awe of these. He might have lost this contest, but he seemed to have impressed the High Spren. Or had he lost? What exactly had the rules been? Thoughtful, he ducked under the water, swimming in the shallow lake back towards the bank. He climbed out, water streaming from his clothing as he walked up to the others. The masters had brought out bright sphere lanterns along with food and refreshment. A Tashiki squire was recording the points while two masters adjudicated what counted as a hit and what did not. Zeth suddenly felt frustrated by their games. Nin had promised him the opportunity to cleanse Shinovar. What time was there for games? The moment had come for him to ascend to a rank beyond all of this. He walked up to the masters.
"I am sorry to have won this contest, as I did the last one with the prison."
"You?"
Ty said, incredulous. Ty had 5 spots on him. Not bad.
"You got hit at least 2 dozen times."
"I believe," Zeth replied, "that the rules stated the winner was the one with the fewest marks on his uniform."
He held his hands to the side, showing his white clothing washed clean during his swim. Warren and Key shared a look. She nodded with a hint of a smile.
"There is always one," Warren said, "who notices that. Remember that while loopholes are to be exploited, Zeth San Nutoro, they are dangerous to rely upon. Still, you have done well, both in your performance and in seeing this hole in the rules."
He glanced into the night, squinting at the two High Spren who seemed to have made themselves visible to Warren as well.
Others agree.
He used a weapon,
one of the older squires said, pointing. He broke the rules.
I used a pole to block pouches, Zeth said, but I did not attack anyone with it.
You attacked me,
said the woman he'd thrown at someone else.
Physical contact was not forbidden, and I cannot help if you are unable to control your lashings when I release you.
The masters didn't object. Indeed, Key leaned in to Warren.
He is beyond the skill of these. I hadn't realized.
Warren looked back to him.
You shall soon have your spren, gauging by this performance.
Not soon, Zeth said. Right now. I shall say the third ideal this night, choosing to follow the law. I...
No,
a voice interrupted. A figure stood up on the low wall surrounding the Order's stone courtyard. Skybreakers gasped, holding up lanterns, illuminating a man with dark Makabaki skin, highlighted by a white crescent birthmark on his right cheek. Unlike the others, he wore a striking uniform of silver and black. Nin, Sun God, Nail, Naku, Nalan. This man had 100 different names and was revered across all Roshar. The Illuminator. The Judge. A founder of humankind, defender against the desolations, a man ascended to divinity. The Herald of Justice had returned.
Before you swear, Zeth's son Naturo, Nin said, there are things you need to understand.
He looked across the Skybreakers.
Things you all must understand. Squires, masters, gather our gemstone reserves and mobile packs. We will leave most of the squires. They leak stormlight too much, and we have a long way to go.
Tonight, just one,
Key asked.
Tonight. It is time for you to learn the two greatest secrets I know.